Hello and welcome to the Cruel Summer Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Marco Sparks.
Welcome back, Marco. Thanks for joining
welcome
us
back, James.
As we discuss Season 2, Episode 3 of Cruel Summer, entitled Bloody Knuckles. Did I miss a reference as to why this is called Bloody Knuckles?
If you did, I did too.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I only watched this the one time because I was like, I'm good.
How are you doing this though? You just got like the episode up?
Oh, yeah. In front of me. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Nothing written down?
I have a few notes, you know, just okay. A few points I'd like to make. Yeah.
I went back through it and there was probably.
You're a hero.
There's probably four times where I was like, what if I just stop?
There are times when I'm watching this show that I'm like, oh, you know, if I cared, I would like go back and watch the scene again from the first episode to do some analysis to like just like check their work. But like, I don't think they care. So why should I care? You know, I don't know. I'm going to try to be as positive as I can be. Mostly the show is just kind of boring to me right now. Like it's just
this episode
blah.
Was criminally boring.
Yeah, like it's just nothing's really happening that's interesting. There's like suggestions of intrigue, but like I'm not really hooked right now.
Everything in this episode, I think, could have been bunched into the second episode.
Or maybe the first episode, you know, like let's get on with it. The events that are about to unfold take place on around July 19th, 1999, December 19th, 1999, and July 19th, 2000.
Well, let's run through some stuff real quick. So written by Heather F. Robb, directed by Bill Purple.
Heather Robb appears to be an actor, mostly.
Actor, musician, and writer. Mm-hmm. This first aired on June 12th. Our follow-up, so we asked for it. Jenna, Sage, and Kevin pointed out that there's a certain sweater in the tape that identifies Isabella.
It's a red sweater. A few people pointed that out. That's how people suspected that it was Isabella in the tape. This is red sweater is just like sitting on the bed.
And we're told in the pilot that Megan likes to shop in Isabella's closet.
Maybe that Kevin, could have been made more clear in the episode. I don't know.
Kevin did some research into songs released in the 1990s that feature the expression or term or title ride or die. There's a few.
All right.
We weren't that cool.
Corrected.
There are at least two expressions in this episode, though, that are 100% 2023 slang and not 1999 slang.
Well, we get some clarification on like why they can't like use a certain lie, like the sweater thing helps and whatnot. But still, like I feel like one of my main issues with this show is that it's kind of all the intrigue is built on this kind of like foundation of sand where like my brain is just like, this is dumb. Like that, like the whole, like we can't let them know who's really on the sex tape. Like that doesn't read like real stakes to me. It's like, this is fake. You're making this up. Like your college wouldn't care. No one would care. Like this isn't people finding out that was you on the tape would not have no material impact on your life, but the show keeps telling me, yes, no, it will. It'd be a horrible thing if people found out, which is why they must like escalate these lies over and over again.
On another level that still feeds into the plot, but is more important for a show coming out 2023, especially following a show that had season one of this show and was so successful in it. There is nothing dealing with the ramifications of being taped having sex without your knowledge or consent, having that tape shown to your family and friends, dealing with the fallout of that.
Everybody seems to be treating them as though like they did it. They aired the tape on purpose or something. Yeah. Like as though that would be like a thing anyone would ever do.
Yeah.
It's very strange that it's just never addressed that like, oh, you are actually like the victim of something. Like somebody did this to you. You obviously did not want this to happen.
I could point out the scene in which it first occurs to me. My feeling right now is that Luke either did the tape himself or released it himself, aired it. Well, it doesn't help the fact that I was reading about that actor and he's apparently a racist, a transphobe, just a piece of shit. Which I'm like, okay, so you're.
Well, I don't know if that means this character is going to be like the secret villain.
No, I mean, I started to have this weird feeling about the character having done this, and then it was like the next day I read these articles and I was like, oh, cool. It's always the ones you expect.
Nippo, all right, baby. All right. Are we doing a new thing with this like audio rewind sound effect every time we like cut to a year. I feel like this wasn't in the previous episodes.
It might have been, but they don't do it every time.
Yeah. It was like, and then it like starts playing a song.
Which would be an interesting motif if like Jeff is obviously appears a lot more than he did in the previous one where he's just mentioned, but like he's not even still a real character. It's like the sketches of a real character.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed with where they've gone with Jeff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess like in your face for rooting for the guy with the video camera, you know?
Yeah. I think in some cases though, the flaw isn't so much with the acting. I mean, there's just not a lot for some of these actors to do.
Yeah. I feel like they're trying to be so cagey about their mystery that they're kind of giving us nothing.
Yeah. Well, and summer 1999 Isabella is kind of wretched, but like at least Lexi Underwood has some nuance to play in her performance there. Yeah, like she gets to do a range. I definitely dread started seeing to her
dislike both of these main characters this episode.
Well, but I mean, like, I just dread seeing Isabella in the other two time periods. Whereas at least there's a range to what she can do or show the writing will allow in the summer 99. Anyway, let's just get started. In the Airstream, Isabella's packing a bag.
Summer 99.
Yeah, summer 99. While Megan hangs out and poo-poos what they're about to do, it seems like the teenagers are all going to go stay over at Luke's family's cabin. And Isabella's excited to go, but Megan just keeps trying to pour cold water on that.
Megan keeps trying to be like, you really don't have to go if you don't want to, you know?
Yeah. Isabella's packing a lot. She's packing like George Costanza by mood.
Yeah, like a whole suitcase for one night at like a cabin, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it won't be like a romantic getaway, Megan says. It'll be 24 hours of immature boys running off jock straps on their heads, competing to see who can fart the loudest, which hell of a contest.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, sounds fun, Isabella. It's like she's like not playing into what Megan here is trying to put down at all. She's like, no, I'm going to go have a good time.
So it's like whatever her reasoning is, Isabella is looking forward to like slumming it.
Yeah, there's also did you notice like the weird rack focus here where it's like Megan's kind of medium framed and then she like walks forward into the shot and it like rack focuses to follow her. Like, I don't know why they're bothering to do that in these shots, but yeah. You go Bill Purple trying to
Bill
do
Purple is just trying some our new maestro. Mm-hmm. Megan's working hard saying like Luke would understand if you wanted to bail, it's usually guys only. And Isabella's like, well, you know, except for you. And then Isabella's like, don't worry, I could take a sword fight or two, consider myself warned. And I kept thinking like, what connotation of sword fight are we using here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, Megan just has this expression at the end, I guess, you know, like foiled again or whatever. I continue to be a little unsure of what exactly they are trying to tell us Megan feels about Isabella. There's those weird shots in the last week's episode where is it like, is she in love with Isabella? Is she like jealous of Isabella? Like, I still don't really have a read on like what her deal is. She resents her for some reason, but it's like, I don't know. In 6 months, they'll be BFFs, but seemingly without any, you know, sapphic undertone. So I don't really know what they're doing.
My presumption is that she thinks that she's really cool and thus she hates that she's here. Like, big rock in this little pond,
I guess. Even though like Megan also seems to like not be interested in like a social life at all, you know, it's like she kind of like acts like she doesn't care the whole time and doesn't want to hang out with these people and isn't into getting drunk or anything like that. So yeah, I don't know,
she's that kid who had to show up to everything and sit in the corner. Mm-hmm. And just be like a disgusting like a shit floating in the pool. That's what
wow.
She is.
Wow.
Her character is just like,
you know, neither of these characters are doing much for me. You know, like Kiara Aurelia in Cruel Summer season one was like just a little rascal. Like, what a scamp, you know, like he kind of loved like how scheming and conniving she was. But these girls, they're not particularly schemey. They're just kind of like unpleasant.
But like not in a fun way.
Not in a fun way at all. They're just kind of like I just would prefer not to spend more time with them kind of a way.
Like when I say Isabella's horrible in Summer 99, I don't mean she's a bad person. Her being a bad person would be interesting.
Yeah.
So Winter 99, we've gone from this close with Megan in the summer in the Airstream to now she's like comes running in out of breath. It's kind of a follow-up from the end of last week where Megan's like, you didn't think to warn me? We find out that Isabella indeed told Debbie at the end of the previous episode that it was Megan on the sex tape, not her.
So she did that after she heard Megan canoodling with Luke and being like, you're my ride or die. And, you know, it's like Isabella's betrayed. So she goes and rats her out. Oh, that was her on the sex tape.
Yeah. I mean, is Isabella like some kind of toxic mastermind to some of this? Like, that's my generous read. She seems
weirdly obsessed with Megan's mom. Which I guess you could say it's like, oh, it's because like her parents ignored her or whatever. But yeah.
Well, to a certain degree, she's been essentially trying to isolate Megan. Mm-hmm. Debbie is the most non-character on this show.
Debbie doesn't seem to find it weird at all that this exchange student is like really invested in worming her way into like her life for some reason, you know, and acting like a surrogate daughter.
Yeah, she hasn't rented like
doesn't really have a sense of boundaries or anything.
Well, it's like we never see Debbie's reaction to having heard about the sex tape of her daughter. Like her reaction to the lawyer thing is so criminally naive that I wanted to headbutt the TV.
Megan's like, I can't believe you didn't even like talk about this with me beforehand. You just like blurted out this embarrassing thing. My mom was looking at me like I was a monster.
Debbie was looking at Isabella like she was a monster.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Sorry. And Isabella couldn't stand her thinking I would actually betray you like that. Which is like, okay.
Oh, Megan yells, you're betraying me right now.
it wasn't her secret to tell.
Yeah, it wasn't her secret to tell. Besides, she was the one who said that no one outside the three of them could know about it. So Isabella counters that Debbie's become like a second mom to her. And
which like, I would just be like, whoa.
Well, Megan says, except she's not your mom, she's mine. So again, this was whole Isabella's whole idea. Isabella's like, oh, I would do it again in a heartbeat. Like Isabella, like it's like she just has an excuse for everything. This is your idea, and I would do it again in a heartbeat for That's you. What
ride or die means, remember?
Yeah, and she's like, oh, but the way you've been really leaning on Luke these past few days instead of me has really made me wonder. It's like, what the fuck?
See,
there's some subtle toxic like manipulation here.
If this was a weird like, I don't know, thruple situation or something, you know, two's company, three's a crowd. Like, if there was something more overt, this would be more interesting. If they suddenly reveal in episode 7 that, like, oh, this is what's been going on the whole time, I don't think that's going to work very well. Like, if that's where you're going with it, just go there and, like, let us know from the start. Like, there shouldn't be a twist that you're going to, like, lay down the line.
The only thing that I would add to that is I think that the Luke part is like unnecessary. He's an appendage. Like she's only seduced Luke to basically get to Megan.
Yeah.
And like the flaw was in somehow Megan and Luke got together. But yeah, tables are turned. Would you even consider doing the same for me? And Megan doesn't say anything as she ponders it. Summer 2000, Sheriff Meyer pulls up to Megan's house. Megan can see him from the window in her room and she's just like, oh shit.
This is the second time now this has happened. This pretty much these same exact shots happened the first episode.
Just this could have been two episodes instead of three so far. Isabella's like watching him from the airstream as well. So he knocks on the door and Debbie lets him in. She asks if everything's all right. He says, I'm afraid not. He comes in all solemn. He's telling her about the ballistics report and how the gun that shot Luke was registered to Steve Chambers.
How do they know that gun shot Luke?
Well, the ballistics report.
He was grazed in like the ear or something like that. How would they know what the gun was?
The problem with the poor writing here is what actually killed him?
Well, no, he drowned.
Did he drown?
He drowned. He was grazed in the ear. How do they know that gun shot him? Like, they don't have a bullet. They can't get ballistics. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Did they cut out a scene or they, like, found a bullet, like, you know, wedged in the floor of the cabin and, like, some blood? Yeah, it's just like you're connecting dots that don't exist.
That police report seen in the last episode, as a writer, that's criminal. Yeah. Like you can't peter out like the crumbs of something, but like, oh, audience, you need to know this, but we're not going to tell you the most essential parts, and you know that.
Well, I think in that last episode, they even say something like he had like an abrasion on his ear. It could have been a gunshot. Like it didn't even seem like they were sure it was a gunshot in the last episode, and now they're like, oh yes, the ballistics. Like how would you even know for sure that was a gunshot, let alone what gun fired?
Were there multiple parties involved? Like, so he was drugged, shot, drowned. He's not Rasputin.
Yeah.
this kid weighs 85 pounds.
And I feel like the whole gun thing is a misdirect anyway. You know, it's going to be like an accident or something like that, or like kind of incidental to what actually happened to him.
Yeah. If it's whatever. Yeah. So there's a funny bit though, where like both Megan and Isabella have either snuck downstairs or inside at different hidden vantage points. Later on, the framing is going to strongly imply that there is no door to Megan's room, that it's like an open loft. Gross. Which, fuck no.
Oh, also, if in case we didn't make a point of it, the gun that they can supposedly track is registered to Steve Chambers.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't understand. Why are you here? Because there are three pairs of prints on that gun. Luke's, Isabella's, and Megan's. Sure. Okay. Mm. And it's like, cruel summer credits.
Yeah. So summer 99, we're up at the cabin with the boys. Luke's lame friends are playing horseshoes and listening to Sublime like a bunch of assholes.
Horseshoes is really something you only play if you're like drinking. Like I don't know.
Or if you're
playing
in your 50s or you're 12. Mm-hmm. And drinking. Yeah, we've got Freddie and Luke and some other dudes. There's another dude who I think was in the last one, but he gets a name this week. It's Eric. Mm-hmm. One dude makes a shot and he starts saying like, let's go, let's go. In the way that they kids say now, they don't say in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Megan and Isabella show up and Luke goes over and gives Isabella the most chaste hug ever. The boys are making dumb sounds.
So boring. Yeah.
Yeah. Making dumb sounds. He's like, oh, don't worry about them. They'll get used to having a girl around. And he's just like, no offense, Megan. Oof. And the way she says, oof, none taken ever, like, this should be funnier.
You know what I mean? Like, something. Yeah.
Yeah. Isabella comes or says that, you know, Megan warned her and she came anyway. And Megan says, well, just wait until later when Jeff makes us watch Boob Camp Massacre 4, The Underwire. Which is, number one, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's rare that Megan is that funny.
I think she has another one of those later, too.
Oh, yeah, she's really ripping on Jeff's movie taste, even though she clearly, like, likes it. But, yeah, Megan asks where Jeff is. They all look around, and he shows up with, like, a Jason Voorhees hockey mask. He's, like, doing, like, a filming through the POV of the eye holes.
Yeah, we get there some camera footage where we're seeing his footage.
This shot is kind of interesting, where, because you have the two eyeballs in the hockey mask. And Isabella, like, plays along for a moment, like, jumps into Luke's arms. So they're framed in one eye hole. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, Megan all by herself watching them from the other eye hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Luke and Isabella run off, and Jeff comes over to help Megan empty some groceries out there. The girls had to bring the groceries. The guys couldn't even bring the fucking groceries.
They just rely on the women for that, you know?
And the girls got the beer, too.
Jeff brought a ton of scary movies, where it's like, dude, you're like at a cabin for one night. Like,
yeah.
Do you need a bunch of scary movies? I guess so.
So clearly Jeff showed up for a different boys' night than the other guys.
Yeah. I mean, is it a little bit of a faux pas for Luke to be bringing his like quasi girlfriend? Like, I feel like the vibes are off.
Well, yes. So what does he do? Well, so I think let's talk about the social dynamics of this group. Luke is clearly
the rich kid. Yeah. He provides the cabin and the money and the
booze, the environment. Yeah. He stylizes himself as the straw that stirs the drink. Mm-hmm. I don't know what kind of grab ass the other guys, they're rotating around him. And then Jeff is thinking like, we're all cinephiles. We're going to watch some trashy movies.
Well, because of that, he can't be like the leader, right? Like, I think the leader's got to be that Freddy guy, maybe.
No, Luke is the leader. Or at least
is he the leader?
He thinks he's the leader, and I think no one else just...
But who's like the real leader? I think it's probably like Freddy or something.
Probably. Or secretly Brent.
Yeah.
The leader in exile. Mm-hmm. So Luke and Isabella run off, and Jeff comes over to help her empty the groceries. The show sets him up to have like a connection or some heat with her.
Because he mentions Halloween, or she asks, oh, even Halloween? Really? Like, she's like kind of excited, and he's like, oh, I know it's one of your favorites. So it's like,
she's like giddy and like, oh, it's so nice of you that you totally thought like they are like, I don't know. She's way too happy. And he is like totally sprung.
I guess I wasn't totally sure if I was reading her as being interested at all or just being like friendly. You know what I mean? I feel like it's walking a line there.
Yeah, I think it's on the cusp of something. But yeah, like she glanced over at Isabella, who's going inside of Luke arm in arm. And Isabella is like totally looking back, making sure that like Megan's watching her.
He's
so
too,
like there's
crazy
there's
kids.
there's something there. Like Megan or Isabella is doing a lot of making sure Megan's either watching her or she's seeing what she's doing. Winter 99, the girls are parked at the docks outside the restaurant. This is one of those TV and movie scenes where the two characters are going to pick up the conversation from the previous scene yeah. where they clearly have not said a word to each other for the whole drive over. So Megan's like, I would, you know, do the same thing for you, that thing you asked me 45 minutes ago. And then what gets me, and I did not notice this the first time I watched this, that on this Freeform show, Megan says, fuck it.
Yeah. Guess we're saying fuck on Freeform now.
Can you imagine if like Ari Montgomery had been like, fuck you, A.
PLL reunion movie. What's it going to take?
Well, who would say an expletive first on PLL? Would it be Hannah?
I feel like it'd be Spencer, but...
I think Spencer's almost too obvious.
That's true.
It needs to be like, remember when that moment in the Venture Brothers where like finally out of nowhere Dr. Venture's just like, suck my dick. And the guy's like, what? You didn't just say that on TV. So yeah, Megan gets the sacrifice Isabel's made and why she told Debbie. Megan hoped that Debbie would never know it was her. Megan apologizes, says that she's hating having Isabella be mad at her, begs for her forgiveness. She says she wouldn't know what she could do or what she would do if she didn't have Isabella to get her through this.
More and, like codependent shit, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this hold Isabella has on her is just evaporating Megan's whatever. And there's this weird shot of kind of like de-establishing mm-hmm. the scene as we drift away.
Yeah.
It's like, was this the episode? Just
that's like a drone shot. They spent some money on that.
Was it like 5 seconds, like too short? Mm-hmm. So summer 99 at the cabin, they're drinking some like St. Ansfried Pilsner beer, which that sent me on a whole thing where I looked up.
Is that one of those Saint. Fake brands?
Yeah, it's a fake brand. It's a Saint from the Netherlands. I don't know why this is a beer. So some dude is talking to Isabella and says, like, you and Luke take the bed. That way we'll have a great view from the floor. And she says, no, you and Eric take that way you can finally consummate your love. And the dynamic is that she's like the guy's girl who like gives it as good
she's
as she
cool
gets
girl.
It.
Yeah.
The layout of the cabin, it's like a cabin studio apartment.
Well, it's like it's got a loft, you know, it's just all one big room. Seems like
you walk in, there's a couch, and there's a bed, there's a kitchenette, and whatever's up in the loft. It doesn't totally seem like the same cabin from the pilot.
Yeah, well, that one is like lit at night, so it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah,
I don't know. I assume that the big bed where the sex tape and the fucking is up in the loft, I think.
Great question. I who could tell?
So in walks Brent. He's crashing the party.
Parker.
Brent and Parker, yeah. And Brent says, who wants my wood? Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, Parker's like 1989, Taylor Swift call. They want their joke back. The Brent character is a mistake.
At some point, Brent says, chillax, asswipe.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brent said, or Luke's like, why are you here? And Brent says that their dad sent him because he was worried Luke would run out of firewood. He would catch a bullet in his bony ass if he took any more from Ned, the Steve Wozniak character, and how that nut job gets trigger happy if a bird craps on his porch. So,
I mean, Luke, is that a real thing? Is he just making this up to be here? I guess I could go either way on that.
Brent is fucking bizarre in this episode, in this time period. Yeah, Luke's trying to get Brent to leave.
Brent is, like, graduated, right?
He's in college.
Yeah, he's, like, I don't know, is he just graduated senior, or has he been at college for a year?
Good question, I don't know.
But either way, it's like, why are you still, it would make more sense if he was just graduated to still be hanging out with these dudes, but either way, you'd think he'd be kind of wanting to move on, you know?
Yeah, because like Luke tries to get him to leave, and Brent says he's not going to crash a sleepover, but he's like, but my girl and I do deserve something for our trouble. So he has Freddie like beer me. So Freddie tosses him two beers, one for him and Parker. And I was just like, remember when this scene was so much funnier in The Social Network?
Just thinking that, yeah.
Parker's confused as to like, what the fuck are they doing here still? And Brent just like chills on the couch like...
He's like, I'm just going to hang out.
I just need to... Well, but like, he's not even like basking in the glow of the other dudes. It's like, he just needs a moment to himself on the couch. Mm-hmm. I started to look up and I got tired of like the shitty background song. So there's one song in here that this show does not deserve to have, does not earned it. But I looked at some of these songs. This one actually came out in 96. A lot of the music.
What song
was
it?
The one that's coming up, or this one?
The one you're talking about.
Oh, Kiss Me.
Oh, yeah.
They don't deserve that song. That song's royalty. But yeah, this song came out in 96. Some of the songs later in the episode came out in 2017. Just not even trying, you guys. Winter 99, Luke was working at the police station doing some like
this
fucking
scene is
filing.
Weird.
This is the scene where I was like, Luke released the tape.
Okay, because he's doing his, I don't know, like community service or whatever at the police station, and the sheriff comes over. He's like, hey, how are you holding up, son? You know, like, kind of like, anything you want to talk about, guy?
Yeah.
And Luke's like, I've had better weeks. And the sheriff says, I have no doubt. Look, you're a good kid. You made a mistake. You'll find a way to make it right. What mistake did he make?
Fucking.
I guess. Like, it feels like they think he released the tape or something. Like, he did that on purpose.
Yeah. Just needs to follow his heart.
Which, again, no one would ever do, I feel like. Unless his part of some weird scheme of his or something. Like, get back at his dad. But, like, it's not like a normal behavior at all, you know?
I think the character that I want to hang out the most with in this show
is the sheriff.
It's the sheriff.
Yeah. The sheriff, he doesn't entirely seem to like exist on the same reality as everyone else in the show.
No.
But
no.
I find him pleasant. Like, I wouldn't mind having a beer with the guy, you know?
Like scraping him off the bar after a bad bet.
Yeah. Or he's just like, trust me, I've made my share of mistakes and apologies. We're talking about like a sex tape that was illegally.
Well, like, what's the fucking line from the pilot? Interesting story. Yeah.
Just trust your heart. You'll do fine, all right? Pats him on the back. There we go. Did my job.
Yeah, this actor, Sean Blakemore, he's like a soap opera actor and a bunch of other stuff. Just seems way better than what's being written for him.
I feel like if you gave him better material, he could execute it at a level that I'm not sure the rest of the actors on this show could. You know
no,
I mean?
I don't think so. But yeah, this scene sets up like what's going to be like a whole thing for Luke. Summer 2000, Meg is at the restaurant, which is the Shoreliner, which is whatever, it's all dumb. Sitting at the bar, doing some coding on her laptop, but listening to music on her headphones. Doesn't seem like a 90s thing.
Doing some coding on her laptop that probably gets like 15 minutes battery life or something.
Yeah. Also, this song that she's listening to is a 2017 song. She sees a news report come on about how Luke's murder. So she takes her headphones off and listens. And the reporter says, toxicology report shows there were narcotics in his system and he died. So the authorities suspect foul play. And there's like footage of like CSI, like going through the cabin. Mm-hmm. Then the whole time there's a woman in the bar next to her is like kind of like drinking her coffee and like eyeballing Megan.
It's finally the woman. Woman says, I picked the wrong time to vacation here. I'm like, oh, she's the reporter. Like, it was so obvious that,
yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, plus the coffee's terrible, huh? So we hear something in the news about like a bullet found on the wall, which I guess that
okay,
could
there
be
we
the,
go.
The ballistics. Mm. I guess if we just watch the show, it'll answer some
but
questions.
But like, shouldn't you get to that before you're talking about how the ballistics came back? Because you're like, what fucking ballistics?
Yeah. I don't know. To me, this feels like a show that's not inviting you to watch it closely at all. Like, at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, some shows do that, and some shows are like, go ahead, take a peek under the hood. Like, it's going to be much more interesting for you. So, finally, this woman asks Megan if she and Luke grew up together, and, like, Megan's just like shocked, like, that's presumptuous. And the woman's like, oh, yeah, you two are dating, right? And Megan doesn't understand, like, why this random stranger could know so much, and then she sees a report on the news report, and her name's Jenna Rosh.
Oops.
Yeah.
Like, would she not have known that, like, oh, this is the segment I taped earlier. I'll be appearing on TV screen any moment now. Try to really quickly, like, get a quote from this chick before she figures out who I am.
Oh, or, like, did you time this whole thing for, like, when your report would come on?
Well, so, and she's like, oh, Megan, the world wants to hear your side of the story. Let me help you share it. And Megan just gets up and she says, you're right, the coffee is terrible. And she, like, dumps it all over this lady's food. And the reporter is just like, uh-huh. Like, I can't believe he just did that. How rude. It's like, if you're like doing what you just did, you should be used to this kind of reaction. Like, this should just be like nothing to you. Slide right off your back.
Yeah. I just like that Megan's just like, I'm going to be the badass of my dreams right now, though I'm not really that character. So after the commercial, it's summer 2000. We're somewhere with Isabella. It must be a hotel room. A very posh woman with like a slight British accent is like setting up a chair across from her, as well as like on the couch. This is Rebecca.
To which I must ask, if she gets to have a British accent, why doesn't Isabella have a British accent? I feel like robbed and cheated.
Well, Okay, so the Isabella character, everything about her falls apart in this scene because she is stressed that she is American.
Yes, she has said before she is American, and then she says, "I have diplomatic immunity." That is not how that works.
No. Well, she doesn't say she has it. She just says we should claim it, and it's like. I did a quick look.
So she does in the next scene again. She then later again says, "I had diplomatic immunity." It's like that's not how diplomatic immunity works.
No. Diplomatic immunity. Just for anyone who's there's a whole thing in the 80s where every cop show had to have something a diplomatic immunity storyline.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah, episodes of Hunter. But like, it basically is for top ambassadors in a foreign country can commit certain crimes and not be prosecuted for them because it could harm diplomatic relations. It's not for, I mean, they do not say once that her family, her parents are ambassadors, just that they are diplomats.
And they
which is a very
she's
vague.
She's also stressed that she is American.
Yeah.
And she's on American soil. There's no such thing as diplomatic immunity on your own soil.
So I like Rebecca because I like her accent, but as if she was a good reporter, or if she was a good lawyer,
she's like a fixer,
she would tell Isabella. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the Michael Clayton for this family. But Isabella's like, basically, Rebecca's got like a British young Viola Davis vibe to her.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, we've never played these games before, Rebecca. Let's not start now. It's very much like, oh, these two have been around the block a few times before. Rebecca has had to fix other situations that Isabella has gotten herself into.
All right, so whoever Lisa is, do you think Isabella like killed her? Or was responsible for her death?
Or was another very close friend that weirdly died under mysterious circumstances? Yeah, it's going to be something like that, maybe.
So she starts with asking about Isabella's fingerprints on the gun. Isabella says that she and Megan both used it for target practice last summer. Luke was with them. Then Rebecca brings up the sex tape, and Isabella says that Megan's on the tape, not her. She just took the blame, so Megan would lose her scholarship.
So
and
she's definitely telling her lawyer everything.
Rebecca should have been like, well, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
What are you, an idiot?
Yeah. Do you fall off the idiot tree and hit every branch on the way down? Come on. That's an American expression, right? Isabella says that, you know, it felt right at the time and pointless now. And she's like, only a few people know it's Megan on the tape. It still hurts her more than me, right? I mean, she's the wronged party, like the one with the axe to grind when Luke's concerned.
What's weird is that they say it's pointless now, but yet they're still going with this lie and will continue to go with it later to the sheriff.
Yeah.
Which, why? Yeah.
Rebecca says
it would clear up a lot of like the police suspicions, you know, be like, actually, look, this is the real story. Like, it was me on the tape. Like, that would like kind of explain a lot of their actions and like why they were like, you know, caught in lies and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cause the sheriff's not going to take away your fucking scholarship.
Yeah.
He's apparently up to his neck in kiddie porn as it is. So Rebecca says that it hurts both of them. And a small town like this will always look harder at the outsider. So Isabella gets that and says that she hasn't seen too many friendly faces around town lately.
Well, Isabella's also like, I mean, she's the wronged party, you know, the one with the axe grind. She's already like seemingly looking to like sell Megan up the river and like, you like put this on her.
So Rebecca leans in and says that there's another angle that she's sure the police will pursue and that, you know, Isabella and Megan are working together and they need to control the optics. We weren't talking about optics back in the 90s.
Really, no.
Isabella says that she and Megan haven't spoken in months, which is not totally true. Becca says that it won't matter and that she needs to keep contact with Megan and Debbie to an absolute minimum. I mean, how would the sheriff know that? You live together.
Yeah, you live there. Like, yeah. Okay.
So this is where Isabella says, why don't we just claim diplomatic immunity and get on a plane? It's like, because it doesn't fucking work that way. And that, like, Becca says it would look bad, especially after what happened in St. Bart's last winter. And Isabella gives her a pointed stare. That must be,
like, the demise of this Lisa person.
Yeah. So summer 99, the kids are like shooting some cans on a log out in the woods. Luke's with Isabella.
Is this
like
an
Freddy's
actual
shooting
rifle or is that like a BB gun? I feel like it might be a BB gun.
Who the fuck knows these people? Yeah, Freddy's up shooting and Brent's like chilling, like holding court. And he's like, you know what they say about sharpshooters, soft boners.
Yeah, what's great is that I'm just like scrolling through the video file and I just stopped it and it just says soft boners. I mean, why, other than having like really low self-esteem, why is it Parker? Like, why is she hanging out with this dude? I guess he's
seriously.
Rich. Yeah.
Oh, Freddy's like, well, Parker didn't complain last night. Parker's like, you wish. It's like, Parker, get the fuck out of here. So Brent starts wrestling with Freddy. it's Isabella's turn to shoot, and she has an old revolver, which she like waves around a little bit. I think this is like her flirt move to be like, oh, look how reckless I am with the gun. And he's got to be like, whoa, 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 let me show you how this, to use this.
This was a scene where I really started to dislike her. Like, I'm not a fan of guns in general, and like waving a fucking gun around and like acting like you don't give a shit about anyone's personal safety. I'm just like, well, fuck you.
I think it's fake though, because she doesn't. It gets a little close, but like for the most part, it's really not.
It's just not something you play around with, in my opinion. Like, that's a fucking asshole move. I'm not like, oh, how charming. And I'm like, fuck you.
I agree, but I think her move here is she's letting Luke be like the tough guy who gets to show her gun safety.
Sure.
I mean, this is when I
was officially like out on Isabella. I was just like, no, thank you.
Did you come back at all at the end of the episode?
No.
No. I was like, thank God they gave this actress something to do. So he points out that if she's not careful, she could blow somebody's head off, which God, I guess that's supposed to like get us thinking like this is what happens to Luke. And she's like, well, I do have diplomatic immunity, so I could kill all of you, get away with it.
No, you don't.
I don't know if she's just claiming this or does she actually believe this?
The show has not given us any reason to believe otherwise that she thinks this sincerely.
If I'm giving the show the benefit of doubt, I'm thinking that half of Isabella and Summer 99 is her bullshitting these people. Mm-hmm. So he gives her some instruction and she tries three shots and she misses. I wanted her to like come back later after everyone left and her to just like close her eyes and
like the zero effect move. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like take some like amazing shots. But yeah, it's hard to tell her that like she's so awkward. It's an act for these yokels. But so she says that she's terrible and she'll be back and she leaves. Luke goes to take a shot before he can. Like Megan comes up and takes the gun from him.
This would mean more if he was actually shot to death and not like it grazed his ear, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
Because like if she's secretly a good shot, so what?
This is like Chekhov's anti-gun.
Yeah.
This is like the gun fired in the first act. That's definitely a red herring. Yeah. So she fires off a shot, hits a beer can, tries another, misses. She asks if they're together now. He's like, oh, translation, please. And it's like, you know what she's fucking asking you. Don't be cute.
Yeah, of course Megan has to prove that, like, oh, she's a good old girl. She knows how to shoot some cans here.
Well, and that, and she has to say things like, yeah, I know labels are dumb. It's like, you don't believe that, Megan.
But as her best friend and, like, landlord,
yeah,
just want to know what's going on.
Yeah, Isabella comes back with some beers for her and Luke.
Bottled beers. We saw cans before, but I guess we've got bottled beer, too. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, so Megan just like a pissed off smile as she, she hits another one and Isabella's like, damn, Megan, remind me to like stay on your good side. And Megan's like this kind of pissed off smile and walks off.
So what do we make of this next scene in the winter of 99 where it's just Luke standing out at the edge of the dock on this lake looking pensive and just doing a lot of thinking and staring out the water, and he skips a rock and he's pensive some more and he just turns around and he's made a decision and he walks away. Like, okay.
Number one, this dude's not Hamlet.
No.
Number two, I thought you could take this scene, cut out the music, put any other music on it, and make it an ad for like erectile dysfunction. Yeah, yeah, like you could like make an ad for anything. So presumably we're gonna find out that this like I think that it's not just the tapes, whatever else is largely going on with Luke. We're gonna look back at this as the hook that he was weighing it all.
It's gonna be like he's like trying to like expose that he's been molested or something like that. Like there's some deeper thing he's trying to like out his family for. I don't know.
There's certainly something like that is brewing. So inside the, or like maybe the dad killed the mom.
No, I mean, didn't she have like cancer or something though?
He could still killed her.
Yeah.
He pulled the plug.
He gave it to her. Yeah.
He was like squeezing out the chemo into like the trash can. Yeah, inside the police station, the one other cop, the Garrett Reynolds.
This guy is totally. I had to look it up for a second. I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure it's not Garrett Reynolds, but it's like they've gone and found like the great value to Garrett Reynolds and cast him. Saying,
like, what if Garrett Reynolds was like scale and like less cool, but he's like chilling his desk, watching football on a tiny TV, talking to someone on the phone, like, start backing up the money truck. I got this one in the bag. The police station seems otherwise just totally empty, I guess. There's no crime after December 18th.
That's also bad. Like just a tiny little TV with like antennas. I mean, I guess some people still had those in 99, but.
Oh, yeah. We had we had some shitty TVs mm-hmm. in 99.
Still. It's honestly like incredible.
The portable TVs.
The TV that we put up with in our youth. It just looks like absolute garbage compared to what we have now.
I had not just the rabbit ears fiascos, but I mean, like for like the first, I don't know, 11 years of my life, the TV I had in my room was black and white. Mm-hmm. But it was like one of those ones where it's like I had three dials, one for the volume, one for the first 12 channels, and then one for like the other channels.
Yeah. The UHF and VHF.
Yeah.
Having to like stand and like hold the antenna in a certain way to like get something to stay tuned.
Oh, but sometimes somebody might come into your room and like suddenly you lost reception. Yeah. Fucking A. Or like, yeah, I want to watch this show at 8 o'clock if I can get the reception.
I'm actually going to try to do the digital antenna thing when I move into my new place. Yeah. Supposedly it like works now. I'll give it a shot. I'll report back.
So what is that? That's not reinserting the cord. What are you doing there? What is that?
I don't know, over the air. It's like you just get like, you know, like broadcast channels and whatnot, but.
So you're going to go back into the world of commercials?
I mean, it's mostly just like to watch football, really. Like,
okay.
I don't want to pay, you know, YouTube like $400 or whatever for Sunday.
I mean, because like, you know, like we have that friend who keeps talking about like things on the radio and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't like commercials.
I don't even know what the radio stations are now where we live.
Yeah.
But we digress.
You're better off.
Somebody has walked in and interrupted the sheriff's game and left it. They walked in, walked out, and left a box that says "Attention, Sheriff Meyer."
This is a shoebox for size 11 Converse, mm-hmm. which I just this kid's not size 11. This kid's like size 9. Let's just be real. Also, I was gonna say back on the TV thing, the one thing I do miss is that occasional like I'm just gonna flip through the channels and find something.
Yeah,
you know, like channel that's the thing that streaming apps don't have is like the random button. Mm-hmm. Anyway, summer 2000, there's a knock on Debbie's door and she answers and sigh. It's Steve. He's bringing her a covered dish and she's like, oh, I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be the other way around. He's
you know
like,
how no I feel about these scenes.
No more casseroles for me. I could open up a store. This guy is like, he got this script. He read this part. He's just like, I'm going to live out my grief acting dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be so unwatchable. And the way they frame and edit me. I don't know.
Are you holding up a bit of a blur? Nights are the worst. Oh my God. I'm so fucking bored.
I got to say, if you're going to assign blame for this show, I wouldn't put it on the actors first.
I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm just saying these are incredibly boring.
Like scenes. This guy just. His
I don't think I'm going to sleep again until I find out who killed my son. Yeah, great.
The show just is not giving him the runway to land, this grief acting. Yeah,
but I also feel like there's no one to tell him, like, this isn't working. Whatever you're doing with this material, it's like you're trying to play it like you're on an HBO drama or something. And the
well, like, I wonder, like, episode 8, does a director come in and be like, hey, guy, I saw how they're cutting these episodes together. I would stop doing this. They're not doing you any favors.
But Debbie's like, Jack, the sheriff, told me about the fingerprints on the gun. You can't really think that's the girls. No, no, no. The girls were with Luke up at the cabin last summer. Probably been playing around with the gun. I'm sure that's all it was.
Yeah, he says that the other weird detail from the sheriff, though, is the cabin was cleaned recently, which I don't think you could tell in that fucking cabin.
You could tell something was recently cleaned, I think. Just you like could, a lack I mean, of dust, you know. Or
well,
something.
She's like cleaning up blood.
Yeah.
You know, so like what else is she actually dusting? I can't have my skin particles in the 1999 CSI's reach.
Yeah, and he says he hasn't been up there in months, neither has Brent.
Which, of course, so you can always trust it. Brent's word.
Yeah. So who cleaned it? And we pan up to once again, Megan's just like sitting up there at the top of the stairs listening. Oh, no, like there's just too much of this. Of like her being present and like no one just being like, Megan, get down here. We have a question for you.
Also, we know that you don't have a door. There's no way you didn't hear us. So after commercial.
Yeah. But after commercial, summer 99, everyone's hanging out outside and Jeff is just kind of walking around with his camera, walking over to Megan here and kind of describing her. Megan Landry, top of her class, model citizen.
Yeah,
what
she's
dark
like,
secrets lurk beneath her friendly surface.
She's reading that book that I think Isabella gave her when she first arrived. She seems to find this cute. You know, is this a harmless novel or research for her next twisted kill? We wish. She tells him that she hates the camera. He's like, you might hate it, but it loves you.
He's laying on thick in this episode.
Here's my question. Is my boy Jeff solely flirting with her, or is he trying to get her to like do a nude scene in the horror movie he's filming?
Maybe a little of both.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So she takes a cam from him, turns it on him, and she's like, Jeff Pope, Artur, or Voyeur.
And just say, and like, the names on this show.
Jeff Pope?
Megan Landry, Jeff Pope, Jack Meyer. Like, I need a little more pizzazz, you know? Like, something to make these characters memorable.
Jack Meyer is like the name of a sheriff in a show where you do like what like David Harbour was doing in Stranger Things season one. Like, mm-hmm. like the Jack Sheriff Jack Meyer hasn't shaved in 3 years since his like kid died in his arms. So yeah, she asks if he's like always hiding behind the camera or, you know, why is he always doing that?
And he says, she's turned the tables on him. Yeah. With pointing the camera at him.
He says it allows him to be a part of things, but separate from them. And that folks forget that he's there, and that he gets to see more things than he would normally, which is fucking sad as hell. She asks,
"That's how Harfers are, though." I buy that.
But still, it's give this man a hug. He's going through it. She asks what he's learned from all of his filming, and he's like, "Don't let a girl touch your camera, no matter how cute she is." And then he just gets up and walks off.
He's just like, "My work here is done. I slipped in two very obvious innuendos that I'm into this chick, and now I'm just gonna bounce."
I don't know. Like, Jeff, are you in your life, are you writing a movie about a main character who can't close?
Well, then it's like cut to Megan, who's been watching this exchange.
Isabella,
and then she kind of like, she looks away and like smiles, like as if, I don't know, all is going according to my plan. Like,
yeah. What are they doing with this character?
Well, there's dialogue, at least in the subtitles at the beginning of this, where somebody says we should get him to try tonight, and someone else says, I bet he would do it. I don't know if they're talking about him like hitting on Megan or what.
I doubt it. I feel like it's just close to gay, like just boys shenanigans, like like, you know, like they're putting eggs up each other's asses or hot dogs up each other's asses and doing stuff. I don't know. Summer 2000. Isabella is now confronting Debbie and Megan.
I'm sure you love this scene.
I fucking hated this scene. Isabella says they need to get a lawyer, and Debbie, who's the most naive character ever, is like, I've known Jack Meyer for almost 20 years. I'm sure he'll sort it all out. And Isabella, I want her to slap her. She's like, Sheriff Meyer isn't your friend, Debbie. He's a cop. Fucking wake up.
Megan's like, you seem to know a lot about dealing with the law. And Isabella says, just get a lawyer, okay? A really, really good one. And then she walks off.
Yeah. And Megan and Debbie look at each other. They might as well just like shrug and like clunk heads together.
That was weird.
Yeah. Oh, gee, are we actually in trouble? Summer 99 in the kitchen of the cabin. Megan is making herself a sandwich when Brent comes in. He calls her laundry and like goes for the sandwich. And she slaps on his hand away and calls him penis breath. And he's like, nice. And she's like, it's implied that he's like taught her to call guys penis breath before.
I mean, from ET or something.
Yeah, maybe. Brent asks if Luke is like going to close the deal with the import, and Megan says that she missed when Brent used to be a semi-decent guy.
Such an asshole way to refer to it.
See, but like, he could be a really fun asshole, you know, on the show, but he's not. He says that he'll help her get rid of Isabella if she wants, and she's, it's fine. She gives him half her sandwich, tells him to get lost, like, let us have our lame overnight to ourselves. And there's like kind of a big brother, little sister.
Well, she
vibe
does say, I miss the semi-decent guy I used to know, like referring to him. So, like,
yeah.
And she'll reveal later that she kind of used to have a crush on him. Sure, you know.
So then, in a rare display of actual 90s lingo.
Oh, yeah.
He acquiesces, takes the sandwich, and yells, yo, Parker, we're Audi 5000, which first appeared in Reality Bites, right?
I'm Audi 5000?
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember I'm Audi from Clueless, but I don't know what the 5000 part.
I did a whole like internet deep dive on this, and it got real confused because some people rightfully hear it as Audi 5000 and other people hear it as Audi.
Oh, yeah.
Like the car, which makes less sense. Anyway, Winter 99 at the restaurant. Megan is bringing a customer his lobster club of extra chips. And we look over and we see that Isabella is at a table with Lily, who has no dialogue in this episode. Or maybe like a line. then Luke shows up and like Megan takes him off the side so they can talk in private. Like, what's, you know, he's asking what she's doing and she feels like an animal in a zoo. There's a hilarious shot as we cut to the rest of the restaurant and nobody is looking at her other than Isabella.
And so as though to like, I don't know, prove himself, he like reaches for her and kisses her like right in public. She's like, what are you doing? Let him talk. You know, I took care of the tapes. Everything's going to be okay.
Yeah. So cut to the sheriff's office. We're looking at that shoebox that got dropped off. Inside are five VHS tapes. We can only see, I think, four of them.
Labor Day, like, Memorial Weekend, Spring Break, Fall Break.
Yeah, we can't see the last one. Then we see that Sheriff Meyer has like Brent and Steve Chambers in his office with him. And the sheriff asks if these are all the tapes. And before Brent can answer, his dad's like, Lingard, about your answer. You've had trouble with it before. So Brent says that, you know, all
a charisma void.
That's all of them. And Steve sighs. Brent's on the couch. Steve's sitting across from the desk from the sheriff. The sheriff points out this is a criminal matter since some of these girls are underage. And Steve steps in and he's like, well, you know, I'll take care of the punishment. It'll have a real impact. And the sheriff's like, no, this is a police matter. And so presumably at this point, the sheriff has watched enough of the tapes to like identify ages.
Yeah. And then Steve has to like big dick this guy and be like, well, it's a judgment call. Like when your roof was leaking and the county didn't have a budget for a new one and I took care of it, or the time you were like passed out, you know, drunk on the floor or whatever, and you're all sloppy. And yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a bender of Jack Meyer would be fun. Yeah. And then somebody named Bonnie was 6 months behind on her rent and Steve took care of that. So these are basically things that you do in your small town to someday have the sheriff in your back pocket.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to let me take care of my kid or whatever. I'll punish him myself. And story ends here.
So when I say it's taken care of, you could rest easy because my word means something.
Yeah. Well, and then it like cut over to Steve with this, like, they're not, is it? No, Brent, sorry. With the shit eating grin on his face. Like, haha, I got away with it. Like, I'm sorry. If I was a sheriff, I'd be like, no, fuck you. Look at this little shit.
I would have negotiated with Steve. I'd be like, all right, look, you got me. You're big dicking me. Here's what I need to do as a sheriff. I need to shoot this kid in the foot. Mm-hmm. Can we do that?
I'll let you pick the foot.
Yeah, you pick the foot. I just want him limping for the rest of his life. Outside, Steve and Brent get to the car.
Well, Brent's like, oh, Meyer looks like he's going to piss his pants. And then like Steve just like grabs him by the back of the neck. And it's like,
he's a puppy.
Yeah, like he's a puppy. And he's like, you told me there's only one tape. Which one would be bad enough? There are other six. Like, I can't tell if Brent, like, because Brent's being a total shit about this. Like, haha, you got him, dad. But Steve mostly just seems to be annoyed that, like, I don't know, like the family name was out there and not that his son is like a complete piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Later,
like,
he's later not on,
like, you fucking asshole, you know, like, you're grounded forever. Like, he doesn't seem to punish him at all.
Well, number one, Steve's not a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no punishment mentioned. Maybe he's going to shoot him in the foot. But later he'll tell Luke that what Brent did was reprehensible. But there's no actual, of course, you know, like, hey,
he's
why don't
grounded.
You value women?
He's, yeah, mm-hmm, there's nothing. I mean, I guess he can't ground him if he's in fucking college, but.
Yeah. Oh, you no frat for you for.
Yeah. How I was the sheriff. How exactly are you going to punish this kid? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've upgraded. I don't want to shoot him in the foot. I need a hand. Yeah, but he throws out the, like, your mother would be horrified. I think that's how he gets this kid, because this kid's like a whiny crybaby with a dead mom. But Steve says, you know, he was this close to letting the sheriff throw the book at him, which is like, to me, you've just created a child who is always going to, like, act out because he knows it's not true. Because the dad will never allow the laundry to be, you know, like, aired in public.
And even after basically laughing about how you just got away with it again, the dad really isn't doing anything other than, like, you know, trying to like, talk tough for a minute.
You just created a better monster. Yeah, so they drive off. Summer 99. These fucking bastards thought that they could play Sixpence None the Richer. You have not earned this.
Well, and then they're like, the screenwriter's like, all right, it's time to get to know these, like, random-ass characters who we don't care about. Let's play Two Truths and a Lie.
Let's rewind to something better. Do you remember when the Sixpence and the Richer music video first came out? And it was just a music video. Mm-hmm. And then it was on She's All That soundtrack.
Yeah.
So they had to splice in scenes in the music video of that. And then some time goes by. And now it's on the Dawson's Creek soundtrack. So they splice in some scenes from Dawson's Creek into the same music video. I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, so it's like, let's play Two Truths and a Lie because we need to learn about these characters because it's been three episodes now. And like, who the fuck are these, like, side characters, basically?
So we got Isabella, Eric, Luke, Freddie, some other dude, and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's see. Luke starts. He says, my mom wanted to name me Xerxes. My dad said no. I had a pen pal in San Diego since like the third grade. And I've been to 3 out of 7 wonders of the world.
So prior to this, Isabella had joked that this is a great game because she might need some dirt to blackmail these kids in the future. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're in this friend group and you hear these three things, you hate this kid, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's seen the wonders of the world. Yeah.
So Megan's like, you know, Legoland doesn't count.
Like, was his mom like Persian or something? Like Xerxes? Like, why exactly would your mom want you to name you that? I don't know.
I mean, I believe the actor is like 1/4 Japanese. Hmm. So that doesn't necessarily tie into it. But no. Yeah, Xerxes is specific. Maybe they, like, in their prep for writing the show, they watched some 90s movies and watched Go.
Yeah, Xerxes.
Would have saved your ass. So Jeff goes next. His comments are, raw chicken legs freak me out. I dislocated my shoulder once, and if I try really hard, I can pop it back out of joint.
First of all, raw chicken legs freak me out is not a suitable thing to play in this game. Like, that's like a weird, like, saying this is my opinion on something, you know, that's not like a real truth.
Yeah. And when I was a little kid, I was in a commercial. So Megan just finds these adorable. Isabella gets a read on him and says that, like, the chicken legs thing must be false. She's like that girl who has, like, her thing is that she thinks that she can just, like, squint at you and, like, get her read on you.
Mm-hmm. The false thing was the commercial, though, wasn't it?
It's also the chicken legs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Luke points out that the commercial thing were true. Jeff would have mentioned it a million times by now. And so Megan's like, wow, you could dislocate your shoulder, really? And he's like, if you ask me nicely.
Mm-hmm. Well, then Isabella's going to give two truths and a lie that are, if possible, more annoying than Luke's. Where she's like, let's see, I saw NSYNC at a tiny club in Barcelona before they got famous. I broke my leg in 3 places while skiing in the Swiss Alps. Like, I hate you already. What do you got for number 3? And I have severe somnambulism. And we're like, so know what? I sleepwalk like crazy. I do some really weird stuff. I mean, a couple nights ago, Debbie found me in the yard practically naked. And they're like, ooh, it's getting interesting. And then, like, obviously Megan is like looking at her like, what are you talking about? You're complete full shit.
Bitch, yeah. Please. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Isabella gets Megan to go along with it. And Megan ad-libs. Yeah. She was like in her underwear watering the flowers. And the dudes are like, all like, bros, we got to go to Europe.
Well, she's like, right, Megan, you saw me out there. Like, it's like I'm forcing you to participate in my weird lie to control you or something.
Well, it's like, it's a curated persona that she's delivering to these shitty, immature dudes. And she's just like, look, Megan, isn't it fun how we can control them? And it's like,
so what was Megan the lie, would know then?
The real, Megan, like, would, I think they're all lies.
Yeah.
But like, Megan would know that you could control these guys better than Isabella would after like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, these guys aren't that complicated. I don't think you need to do a lot of mind games to control them, really.
No. Like, showing off this ability is like,
you could be like, showing off, watch me tie a cherry stem into a knot in my mouth, and they'd be putty in your hands, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This is like me showing off that I know where the silverware drawer is in my house or whatever. Ooh. Summer 2000, inside Megan's house, she and her mom are now meeting with a lawyer that they have named Tom. And he's like, the sex tape gives them a juicy motive that they can sell. And so Megan's like, oh yeah, Megan Landry, jilted lover. And he's like, bingo.
That with the fingerprints and the fact that you were the last one to see Luke. Do we just learn that in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
The lawyer's cell phone rings. He says he needs to take this because it's about grand jury selection, which I guess.
Sure.
Call the grand jury before you charge one of these girls, mm-hmm. or right after. But Debbie, who is a simpleton, says
he seems really good.
And Megan's like, yeah, and expensive. You know, did you get the money from Steve? And she's like reluctant to say where the money came from. And then finally she's like, you know, it came from Megan's dad.
I never asked him for anything in 12 years. And she's like, are you serious? He's your father. It's like, oh, okay, so Megan's dad. We learn that Megan really doesn't like the dad for some reason.
Which, we're going to find out this is not true. She seemingly is asking the dad for the D 1 year earlier.
Right, yeah.
But Debbie says
we didn't need him, that we'd never ask him for anything. Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie says she's not going to let her pride stand in the way of giving Megan the best possible defense, and it's too important. Because, see, I mean, Debbie's credit, she just found out 10 minutes ago that she needs to get her daughter a lawyer. Mm-hmm. But Megan doesn't like it. She wants it made known that she'll be paying the bad back every cent. So the lawyer comes back in and says that they should go and that they're expected down at the police station. Then summer 99, teens are sitting around the fire. It's like night now. My poor Jeff boy is, Jeff is...
He's educating us about the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Which...
He's in the camp that it was real. He was one of those kids.
So Blair Witch would have been in limited release on July 19th. It was not yet in wide release.
Which is why he's going to Seattle.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't dig that deeply to see if it was playing in Seattle, but I was a little dubious that.
But yeah, a lot of people got thrown because there was like a Sci-Fi Channel special leading up to it.
We all knew somebody who was like, no, that was real.
Yeah. They saw this like this fake documentary about this fake documentary. Yeah. So Freddie pronounces him a freak and Megan has Jeff's back, like reminding everyone that Freddie once ate a bowl of dog food on a dare.
I mean, so Jeff should be like really into Scream, right? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That would be like, well, his era. Scream, I know what you did last summer, and you know.
I guess it's implied that he likes it even schlockier.
But I mean, Scream was like what brought all that back. You know, like you watch Scream and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to go watch Halloween and then I'm going to watch all these other like schlocky horror movies.
I'm trying to think. I mean, like, honestly, Jeff should be like, have you guys seen The Evil Dead?
Yeah. Have you heard of this movie called Army of Darkness?
Yeah. Or like he's like a purist for like Evil Dead 1. Or right, something just weird.
Like a weird freak. Yeah.
Or he's just like, have you seen the short movie Cabin in the Woods that it's based on? that's right. I'm a Sam Raimi nerd too. Isn't it kind of wild that Sam Raimi puts the car that he lost his virginity in every movie he does?
It's something.
It's his Rosebud. Mm-hmm. So yeah, some minuscule drops of water start to come down and like Luke freaks out and mobilizes everyone to get their stuff inside out of the rain. Megan stands there like she's
Tim Robbins and the Shawshank Redemption or something.
Yeah. Like she's John Locke and senses that the island's about to give her rain. Mm-hmm. And like Isabella joins her. They like just lap up this non-existent rain. And Isabella,
they're really having a moment here.
Yeah. Isabella thanks Megan for the sleepwalking assist. And then she says, you know, Isabella doesn't care about the rain. She's like, Lisa and I once spent a whole storm on the ocean. I love the sound of rain underwater. Okay.
I mean, if they made her more of a fabulist, I guess it would be something for her character.
Yeah.
If she was just constantly like, and then you would find out that she isn't even a diplomat side or something. Like, I feel like that'd be more interesting than they are seemingly playing it straight where no, she actually is a diplomat's daughter with like rich parents and she's just kind of lame.
Yeah. I mean, once the Rebecca shows up, it's hard to get around that. But yeah, so she's like, oh, Jeff's crushing on you hard. And Megan says, no, that these guys don't see her like that. And she's like, Megan, come on. You're smart, fun, and hot. That's like the crush trifecta. Maybe you used to be one of the guys, but I think those days are over.
This would make a lot more sense if they're like freshmen rather than seniors. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So, or if this was the freshman year and it's like for some god-awful reason, Isabella was going to be at their school for the entire high school career or whatever. But Megan processes that as if there's like a thunderclap in the distance. Summer 2000, we see the door leading into the Barrington County Sheriff's Department. Find out the lawyer's name is Tom Galvin. He's walking with Megan, Debbie. Megan is still got her wretched hacker summer 2000 look, but she's also wearing one of Debbie's like trad wife dresses.
And then we see a shot through a doorway. Megan's like in there talking to somebody.
Isabel,
and they just kind of stare at each other, and I'm like, what am I supposed to be taking from these two staring at each other? Isabella seems sad, maybe. I don't know what they think they're communicating in these shots, but I don't feel like the performances are really doing it.
No. Like, I wonder if Rebecca to turn her head around and be like, who are you staring at?
They're
love?
Just sort of vaguely pensive.
Yeah. Well, it's vacant in a way where like I'm sure they told these actors like, don't worry, as the details get filled in, the audience will know exactly what you're communicating, even though you probably don't know in the script. So after commercial, summer 99, it's actually raining now as Megan and Isabella are like laughing as they run to the cabin door. They look inside and they see the dudes are playing some dude game. Like Eric is shirtless. They've doing like, these guys stuff. The guys have not noticed that the girls have not come inside.
Yeah.
They're much more invested in this grab ass.
And so, they're just like, hey, do you want to get out of here and sleep in actual beds, like far from the threat of Freddy's hot dog farts? And they're like, hell yeah. And so they just leave. Like, do they tell the guys they left? I don't know.
No, I mean, honestly, the two girls ditching this cabin adventure, this lame cabin adventure, is maybe the most believable part of the show.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if those guys are like wondering, hey, what happened to them? I mean, I guess you'd see their car leaving.
You would think that Luke would be concerned at some point that his pseudo girlfriend and his like hot best friend disappeared in the rain. Yes. You'd think that Jeff would be concerned. So they're driving away and Isabel says that she's glad that they left that sausage fest. I don't know if we were saying that in 99 either.
Yeah, we might have been. The sausage fest might have been back there.
I mean, it definitely was a sausage fest, but I don't know if we were saying it. Megan points out that it looked like she and Luke were having fun. And Isabel says that if Freddy has underwear in his head now, what could the next few hours bring? And this is when Megan says, Cabin Slasher 12, The Curse of Tim's Morning Wood.
Is one of them named Tim?
Must be.
Maybe he's that other guy who we don't know his name is.
Must be.
Yeah. And so they're laughing. Oh, and Isabel's like, how'd you get Brent to leave? And Megan says, you just have to know how to handle him. He acts like a jerk, but he's really just a stunted child who makes kiddie porn.
She used to think he was cool a million years ago back before his mom died.
What does that mean?
Well, the problem is
that... Well, she says, I used to think he was really cruel. Million years ago before ... and then Isabella chimes in and says before his mom died and she's like yeah like man I thought you were cool that your mom died, total loserville.
Well, I think it's because we're arguing that, or they're positing that
he changed.
This Brent persona came out of this
I feel like
this
we're missing
his Batman origin.
We're missing a link in the chain there, you know.
Yeah, child porn.
He's thinking he's cool, then his mom died.
I liked you before the big C. You know what I mean? Yeah, but like, it's so funny because we have seen it previously that it's 6 months later that Parker has to point out this like sensitive issue at the heart of the Chambers family to Isabella. But here she's, I don't know, intuiting it from Megan, whatever. So Isabella says it kind of makes her feel bad for him. Megan's like, oh no, he still totally sucks. The problem is, through the performance in this writing here, we are hinting at a depth to the Brent character that's not remotely apparent in his actual character.
Yeah, no, we're just, yeah.
So winter 99, we cut to the Chambers Mojo Dojo Casa house, where in this massive house, there's not one, but two Christmas trees.
This house is depressing.
Yeah, it is. There's no life to this house. Who's decorating these Christmas trees? It's not these guys. Is it the maid?
What is Steve doing here with his, like, I don't know, like, business ledger out in front of him?
Yeah. Business, so papers.
He sits Luke down and he's like, when I was in the army, blah, 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 we called your brother a Delta Sierra. And he guesses dipshit. He's like, well, close enough.
According to the Urban Dictionary, it's actually dog shit. Mm.
So this guy in the army? Okay.
You buying that?
Not exactly, no. I mean, for what? Like, you're... She's not old enough for Vietnam, I don't feel like.
No,
so,
yeah. No, he's not. Yeah, what?
He's a successful businessman now. I don't know.
But it wouldn't have been Gulf War One.
No. This guy would have been of age in like the early 80s, it seems like.
When is Iran-Contra? Like, when is Noriega?
No, I mean, you didn't have to, there's no draft or anything. So, yeah, I don't know what this guy's story is.
It's all lies. It's all bullshit. Steve says that these are the kind of guys, these Delta Sierras, that would probably have your back if push came to shove, but anything less than a crisis, they would tend to let you down. So he says that meanwhile, Luke's straight up. He's honest. He wears his heart in his sleeve, along with his size 11 Converse.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, which means that Steve knows it was Luke who like turned over the sex tapes and he didn't bother to use like a shoebox other than his own. So Steve has like lured Luke into this trap of words.
Yeah.
Points out that, you know, Brent's a Delta Sierra and what he did was reprehensible, but Brent would never embarrass the family like this. Though I guess you could argue that by doing the reprehensible act, he did embarrass the families. Uh-huh. But, you know,
Luke says he just wanted him to see him punished. And he says, our business is private. We don't litigate it in public ever. Clear? Like, yeah.
I feel like this guy spends a lot of time telling his kids not to embarrass the family and then saying, are we clear?
Well, like
repeatedly.
The family, it's just like you and your two sons. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to throw the family around, you gotta roll a little deeper in that.
Yeah.
Like, you have one fuck-up son in college and you and your, like, weird business.
I need to hear how you're, like, Steve Chambers the third.
Yeah.
You know, our family built this shitty little logging town. So yes.
Winter 2000, Megan...
99.
Or 99, yeah. Megan and Isabella are at this, like, restaurant that she works at, the Shoreliner. And some dudes come up and it's just like, hey, what's up, Isabella? You want to hang out? Or are you only into guys with girlfriends? Nurr.
Jeff, what are you doing, Jeff? Mm-hmm. So Lily asks, like, what they're talking about. Oh, so I feel like it's implied. I mean, obviously, only Jeff knows, but it's implied mm-hmm. that Freddie knows because he says, well, if it isn't our leading ladies, which
hard
I don't know.
To say whether or not
turn
knows.
A phrase.
Yeah.
But Megan yanks Jeff away from the table and gives him a talking to.
This is where Lily is here, right? And she's like, what's he talking about?
Yeah, her one line. Mm-hmm. What if her second line was like, that was my only line in this episode. But yeah, she's like taking Jeff aside and like gives him talking to, like, especially about bringing us in front of her little sister. And Freddie says, what do you say we get back at Luke and make a movie of our own? And Jeff's like, yeah, I'll hold the camera. Jeff.
Yeah, what? No.
Not cool, no. Jeff. Not a good look. Mm-mm. So Freddie walks off and Megan asks Jeff, this makes him feel better. And he's like, actually, it kind of does. You chose the wrong guy. I would have never done that to you. So Jeff
you're,
has like
you're really selling yourself now, Jeff.
Yeah. Not in this scene, but the actor playing Jeff has kind of the same energy as the Black Power Ranger. I think his name is Zach.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I know you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah, he says, so the tape cut out before you got a good look at the heroine, but I'd know that laugh anywhere. It used to be one of my favorite things about you. So he's implying that he knows it's her on the tape. Yeah. And she says, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And he says, yeah, okay, whatever. And he walks away.
From 10 seconds on a tape that you saw days ago at a party? Yeah. Was she just like...
Was she laughing on it?
Fuck me!
This is one of those things where I'm like, do I need to go back and watch and see if she's laughing? No, wait, I don't care. Yeah.
No, I don't think she's laughing. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I don't think Luke's just like, yeah, I'm going to do you. And she's like, is it in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So summer 2000, it's the interrogation scenes here. Sheriff Jeff...
There is a ridiculous shot in this episode, right at the 32-minute mark. We get a profile view as the interrogation room as Sheriff Jack Myers leans in, and he's like, when did you first learn Luke was missing? Then we get this reverse shot as Tom, the lawyer, leans in with Megan. It is so self-serious and ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to pause it to laugh my head off.
We're doing something with the camera here. Yeah.
It's so bad.
So when did you learn Luke was missing? Same as everyone else. Day after the party. You had no contact with him at that point. And then pans over. Oh, now we're talking to Rebecca and Isabella. And she says no. It's like different framing. Like, I don't know why they didn't just do the same framing if they're going to make such a point of it. But she says we weren't that close. Can you explain why your fingerprints were on the gun? Luke showed us how to shoot, blah, blah, blah. This is all stuff we've heard, you know.
Well, like, you're using the same device. Just cram all of this into the previous episode.
Were you angry at Luke at the Christmas party? And the lawyer tells her to say no comment. Did you want revenge for him betraying you? And Rebecca says, no comment to Isabella there. You're breaking your heart. No comment, no comment. It's like both of them are kind of getting the exact same interrogation at the same answers.
Is that really like the parlance of the lawyer, or is that a reporter thing?
Yeah, I don't. Can you no comment to police?
I don't think you can. Yeah. You can no comment. I mean, if you can no comment the police, you can yada 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 the police.
Yada yada yada. I never saw him again.
Winter 99. Luke is getting something out of the fridge, and like when he shuts the door in a bad horror movie way, there's Brent, his arms folded over his chest. And he's like, bitch. You little bitch,
running after your little sheriff daddy.
Which, if he has to run for re-election, it should be like Jack Meyer, Sheriff Daddy.
Yeah. So he got like kind of shoves Luke up against the fridge, and he says, you know, like, I know you gave the cops my tapes. You know, it wasn't me, but good. You know, you shouldn't get away with that. And says, Dad, well, Dad didn't give a shit. And he's like, yeah, what? He's like, Meyer. Yeah, bitch slap Meyer, flex on him super hard. So
we weren't saying flex back then.
Yeah.
Just were not. Brent says that it wasn't Luke, then it must have been his side girl, and then they all have to give her what's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't want to say it. Brent struts off, and Luke just takes a breath.
Well, if I am Luke and I'm already like ratted out my brother once, I'm running straight to dad this time and be like, hey, asshole, you said you're going to take care of it. You don't want me to go in the cops. Go deal with that piece of shit.
I don't think Luke has the cojones to like.
No, he doesn't.
Big time his dad.
Yeah.
Because his dad's going to slap him around and then be like, are we clear? Summer 99, Megan and Isabella are driving home, listening to the music from the cabin thing. And they get to the house. And there's like a motorcycle there. And like Debbie's making out with some dude. Megan's like furious and like storms off into the airstream. And like Debbie and the guy are like, Megan.
This guy's Megan. A real like, I don't know, discount Rob Lowe a little bit.
I have it in my notes in a few minutes. Like I tried to ponder out what band could he have been in? but yeah, Isabella like follows her to the airstream where Megan's just like, I can't believe this. I can't believe she would do this. How dare she like French my dad and give him a handy in the backyard.
Like, who was that guy? And she's like, my dad. And then it kind of like ends on this very serious, like, as, oh, we've got a reveal, you know, his name's Keith. He's a musician, plays guitar in some old rock band.
So these aren't right, but I'm going to throw out two possibilities for the era, for the era, like the locale. Mm-hmm. One is Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
The other is Temple of the Dog. What if he's the guy from Temple of Dog who went on to do nothing?
It's like the second guitarist.
like the third guitarist, because the other two went to the Pearl Jam. Yeah. If you don't know who Temple of Dog is, just look it up. It's a fun.
So she never really called him dad. She's like explaining to Isabella afterwards, you know, they weren't married or anything, but when he was around a bunch when I was little for like birthdays and holidays. I remember him dressing up as Easter Bunny once. Sorry, this is probably boring, she says to the audience and also Isabella. And I'm like, yes, it is. But then Isabella lies and says, no, not even a little bit. Now I had no like new pressure points for you. I'm sure is what she's assuming right now.
I'm just thinking much like Luke's story, like you should, one character should have to hand the other character a dollar and be like, I'm sorry about my dumb story that had no purpose.
Well, she's like, he always had really long hair. He slept in late, used to make up these funny songs about brushing your teeth and doing laundry. And Isabella's like, he sounds cool. Sure.
He and Debbie start fighting when the mom got pregnant with Lily and then he just disappeared. So she said that she used to catch her mom listening to his music. I just pictured Debbie like hugging like a Temple of the Dog vinyl. It's been years. She said her mom always sees the best in people. She doesn't understand why she would bring it back into her lives. Because Debbie is a simpleton who's probably horny as hell.
Kind of a dunce.
Yeah. Like you have to hide the rakes so she keeps stepping on them. Isabella says, you could ask her, or maybe you'd rather stay super pissed for several days. I'm super supportive of that as well. And that makes Megan laugh. And I was like, okay, you're giving this actress something to do with her character who's otherwise wretched. Lexi Underwood, I mean, not the other one.
Yeah.
Winter 99, Megan and Isabella are like meeting Jeff in the dead of night for a dead drop.
They're doing a real like overhead shot of these like two cars meeting in the middle of nowhere with the like headlights on. Yeah.
The kind of thing where it's all lit by headlights, but like it's with the Winter 99 thing, it's so washed out, it looks so gross.
Everything's too blue. Yeah.
Yeah. Isabella says that whatever Jeff thinks he heard on the tape, he can't prove it. And he's like, says you. And Megan's like, I, on the other hand, have plenty of proof about how you pay for all that fancy camera equipment. And like,
spilling your dirty little secret, you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Well, he's pissed at Megan. He's like, you swore you'd never tell. And she's like, I don't want to. I had a great time with you last summer. I don't want to ruin that now by getting messy.
It feels like we have a lot of ground to cover because she has to like get with Jeff for a little while and then break up with him and then get with Luke. And meanwhile, Megan has to end things with Luke. Like, it's just. And we got 7 episodes here. Like, what are we doing? One timeline.
She has to essentially get to a situationship with Jeff.
What do we think this big secret is?
Which one? Jeff's?
Jeff's big secret, yeah. How does he make his money? Like, is he like selling his body?
He's not like filming snuff films in Seattle on the weekends.
Like, I'm just trying to think of like what would be an interesting reveal. I mean, I suppose I could say, oh, he steals shit and sells it or something. Like that's kind of boring, you know. He's like a
stealing from his Radio Shack job.
He's like a weed dealer. Like I feel like people would know. Like that wouldn't be that much of a
secret.
Circuit
City, you know? Job. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem like Jeff is cool enough to be the weed dealer.
But like everybody would know if he was a weed dealer. They'd be like, oh yeah, talk to Jeff. You know. Yeah.
Also, the camera. and the drug dealing.
Don't go hand in hand. Yeah. Yeah. So like what weird secret are they going to roll out? I feel like it's going to be ludicrous. It's going to be another thing where we're going to be like, that's not a real thing. That you can't make money doing that. Nobody would do that. Like, it's going to be one of those. I can just feel it coming.
Yeah. Then there's an absolutely boggling line here. I was just going to say, I had tickets for a podcast show yesterday, and I'm so glad that we actually didn't go into live podcasts, because can you imagine us talking about this to an audience, like a live audience? But yeah, what Jeff podcast? Is like, The Dollop was in Sacramento yesterday. Yeah. Jeff so basically it's blackmail, and Megan's like, more like mutual instruction. Choose your own adventure or don't. What does that line mean? Sure. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know what choose your own
choose
adventure.
Your own adventure or don't.
Turn to page 49 or don't, Jeff. So the girls head back to the car, having made their point, I guess. They really you go girled him. Summer 99. The girls are still in the Airstream, sitting either side of the floor in front of the table. They're having like, I don't know, like a summer 99, 16 candles moment here.
They're, you know, they're having a nice late night talk, eating some candy, sharing their feelings. And she says, we really don't talk that much. She's still talking about her dad, Megan is. Me and my mom are like obsessed with their jobs. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Isabel is talking about her parents. And it's like, oh, we're going to learn something about Isabella. I wonder if it's going to be interesting. Oh, no, you're just like kind of a neglected daughter of, you know, busy diplomats. That's so boring.
My aunt says they're like co-pilots. All they care about is landing the plane, and I'm just some passenger in the back.
Wow.
Yeah.
We really care about your backstory now.
I got to admit, it's not horrible in the performance. When you read it on the page, though, it's rough.
It's just so bland. It's like,
yeah, it's just there's no depth.
I thought maybe revealed. They would do something interesting with this character, but they've decided not to.
Yeah. Isabel says that she's more of an inconvenience to her parents than anything. They just like throw their money at her to hide their
poor
guilt.
Little rich girl.
Yeah. Megan says, I mean, I'm sure that they love you. And she's like, maybe. They just have a really lousy way of showing it, though. And I wanted Megan to be like, have you met my mom? Yeah. She should be wearing a helmet.
And she says, I mean, I know Debbie's not perfect, but at least she listens to you when you talk to her.
We have a sign in the driveway that says, slow mom at play.
I don't think my parents have had a word I said in the last 5 years. Oh, you poor little rich girl.
Have you heard what you said in the last five minutes? No, you can't blame them.
And then Megan says, headline, adults suck sometimes.
And they laugh at that. And then Megan's like, you know, she's glad that Isabella's there. And she's like, but this candy is awful.
They both have a big laugh because now they've bonded. Isabel's like, oh, I wanted you to try something from Europe, even though I'm not European.
I have diplomatic immunity. Mm-hmm. Winter 2000 interrogation rooms again. We see the tape recorder is like recording
summer
all this.
Summer 2000.
Sorry, summer 2000. And the sheriff's like, tell me about the last time you saw Luke.
She says, I've already told you like 10 times. It's like, okay, but the audience hasn't heard any of that. So maybe you should tell us this like pretty key information if you're trying to set up a mystery about how this guy died.
Yeah, and he's like, just tell me one more time, we'll be done. Like, in real life, do cops just really love, like, trying to maneuver you to the right thing for, like, some wordplay traps?
I assume he's like, no, but I need you to tell me on the record now or something, you know? Like, yeah, I don't know.
Well, even though we've seen that she's been ducking him every single time, so how, anyway. So Megan says that she and Luke left the party a little after midnight. They went to the beach, and then a few hours later, she dropped him off at home. And the sheriff says that eyewitnesses did see them leaving the party together. You know, but as far as you dropping Luke back at home, the sheriff pulls up security footage in the chamber's driveway from midnight to 7 a.m.
Love him just rushing fast forward on this shit, which I have to ask, like, oh, he's like kind of like fast forwarding, but he's like controlling the remote while looking at her. It's like a real power move, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, how long have you known that her story didn't add up? And why are you only bringing this up now? Because it's been 7 months since this kid disappeared. Like, if she told you at the time this is what happened, you would have checked the tape then and been like, wait, you're lying. But you seemingly just sat on that for 7 months.
Yeah, well, you know, he didn't have the little cart with the VCR and the TV on it, no aux cable. Mm-hmm. He's been practicing this move for a month, this like sheriff daddy move where he can fast
no sign of either of you or your car or Luke coming home at any point.
And then the lawyer's like, my client's exhausted. Yeah.
My client is exhausted. We'll have to pick this up another time. It's like, this should have happened 7 months ago. I don't understand why, like, just the construction of this mystery is not well done. It's bothering me just on like a technical level.
Well, but okay, so we're setting up for like a hook to like hang Megan on.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. But then the sheriff, like, we're doing this cross cutting thing, and he's like, "Oh, just one more thing. You say you haven't been in the cabin since last summer." And we're like, "Now with Isabella." He goes out of the room to get something. Lawyer faux pas, Rebecca says audibly, "You sure you told me everything?"
Well, like, and we see him go into another room where it's all being like filmed on CCTVs, and you can hear them like being recorded, which, like, yeah. I guess this is legal because they're in like, you know, they're on like police property. Yeah. Like, you can't just be like, no, you don't listen to us, you know?
I mean, for the first time in the show is talking about in season two, they have presumably consented to be recorded in this room. Yeah, but he goes and gets like this like multicolored backpack and like sets down the table and he's like, "Can you explain to me why we found your bag stashed in the crawl space of the cabin? You know, the scene of Luke's murder." And Isabel says nothing and looks confused, and he pulls out a stack of $50 bills, a little thing wrapped in the band says $5,000 on it. And he's like, "What's all this money for?" And it's like, you set up Megan to be like your hammer.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they think they're in it on it together. Like, so I'm a little confused. They found this bag. Now he says, what's the exact line here? Why you found your bag stashed in the crawl space of the chamber's cabin. I guess we don't know when they found it. Well, he also says the scene of Luke's murder, which, like, I don't know how they would know that because they didn't find the body there.
Or the blood, presumably. They would have said the cabin's been cleaned.
I want to make clear,
there was a fuck ton of blood.
The bullet grazed his ear. It is not what killed him. He drowned. You know, like, yeah, but now they're calling it the scene of Luke's murder, and it's like, did you find this bag like 6 months or 7 months ago when he searched it, or did you just search it now and find the bag? Like, how long has that bag been there? You know, like,
yeah. Well, but you had a pretty good hook to put on Megan there,
mm-hmm.
and then in the first episode we saw Megan alone in the cabin. So it's like,
I think
Whiplash is spinning it back to Isabella.
Sheriff Meyer is working in conjunction with the writers to try to throw suspicion both ways to like keep us guessing.
He is the sheriff daddy.
Yeah. So anyways, that's the episode. What's all this money for?
I think your meta comment there is what sums it up. I'm a little confused. Yeah, next week is Springing a Leak.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. You've managed to tell a mystery that doesn't really make sense and isn't super interesting either. And the plot threads they keep dropping, like, ooh, we'd have no footage of them coming home. They're just like, okay. I don't know. Like, everything feels backwards. Like, they're not giving us the right details at the right time. So nothing hits.
Yeah.
You would think that. Okay, end of episode one, it's like, okay, this is the person who's dead. Got it. All right, that's a mystery. Episode two, we should get an accounting of when's the last time you saw him and all that. Like, that should come then, not like in episode three, at the end of episode three.
They know, because they know to put the scene in where the toxicology report comes in. So it's like, they know they have to give you something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's insulting how they give you so little. Or deliver it so poorly that you are blatantly aware that you're getting so little.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Anyway, that is Bloody Knuckles. We'll be on to Springing a Leak next time. Can't wait.
I guess I am kind of excited to watch the show because it's so bad. And I'm curious.
I don't even know if I'd say it's so bad as much as it's just not engaging poorly executed at all. It's just,
I would say, poorly executed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into any of these characters. You know, like, all the characters in Cruel Summer Season 1 were interesting. These ones, not so much. And you had like a villain in Season 1 who was, like, creepy and weird, but, like, his scenes were compelling in, like, a gross way, you know? Like, it was kind of, it was all kind of, like, stomach-churning, but, like, fascinating at the same time. Whereas here, other than Brent, just being like kind of like a shitty asshole who like films his like sexcapades and his dad like being a piece of shit, like, I guess you could call them the villains, but, you know, they don't, like, it's a mystery completely now, so we don't really have, we won't know who the villain is till late, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, they walked just about the right of the fine line of humanizing what's his name in Season 1.
Yeah,
Can't there's nobody's name, yeah, there's nobody established well enough to interestingly human. I mean, like,
well, that's also like we knew
maybe Brent, who, but you're not dealing with the gravity of what Brent's done.
Well, we knew who, like, that immediately in Cruel Summer, we knew that he was the villain, you know, and so it was more like finding out how things unfolded the way they did and whether or not Keira Riley's character was involved. Like, that was kind of the interesting mystery that was unfolding. This is just kind of a standard murder mystery that isn't being told particularly well, even with all these like flash forwards and flashbacks. Like, they're not really taking advantage of like their multiple timelines, I don't feel like.
No. Martin Harris. Yeah, that's his Martin name. Martin Harris. Yeah, but like, yeah, they're not. I mean, they're using it to show you the evolution of the Isabella and Megan friendship.
Yeah. Which isn't.
Which is at the core one of the weakest parts of the show.
Yeah.
That should be the thing that works, because I mean there is potentially a truism that a girl's first love is like her best friend, you know, and like that kind of connection can build from to other things. But
if you'd given us something actually intriguing, like in Winter 99, like we've seen them hiding the body, or I don't know, something to like kind of really point strongly at something, and then like, ooh, how are we gonna get to this moment? You mm-hmm. know, like then we could be like, oh, maybe there's like twists and turns to unfold here, but. So far, it's just a basic mystery.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so next week, tune in for that basic mystery.
Yeah. We'll be there. I think the show might be done now. I think
the tonight, finale's there. Is we're recording on the yeah. night of the finale, which I think the last
no,
episode
no spoilers,
is called,
guys.
It's called Endgame. What I like is that nowhere that I go on the internet do I seem to be in any danger of being spoiled, because nobody is talking about this show.
That reminds me, I should do my like every few months. I like to go to the Original Sin subreddit just to see if anyone's even posting there. Let's see let's just do a little test here. How many people have posted on the Original Sin subreddit in the last month? So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 posts in the last month on the supposedly popular and anticipated PLL Original Sin, which is having a second season coming soonish.
Well, it's because
actually, I think they might have had to stop filming.
Zaslav let the bot contract lapse.
Yeah. they're all busy on Barbie, really.
The PLL, yeah, seriously. The PLL subreddit that was still going, the original one.
Yeah, because people actually like that show.
Yeah. I feel like I need to get on there and just talk about Ravenswood solely. Just keep bringing up Ravenswood posts.
Fireflies.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're done.
Later.